As hot as I am, every now and then just fan the person next to you just to try and keep them cool. I see everyone is fanning. Someone said to me beforehand that what we should do is for myself, because what you got to remember, there's a lot of lights on this stage, it's actually hotter here than there. As we thought of building, we just want to know how you'd feel about it, if we built that contraption that has a little fan that I could put on a backpack. I don't know if that would be disturbing to anyone as we speak. But it's an idea that came up. It's all in the suggestion box. If you're visiting with us, it is great to have you with us. We apologize for the weather. That was not our doing. We are busy with a series called Crazy Love, and I think that is something you particularly need in weather like this. I'm sure there was a lot of tension this morning, most probably in some of our cars as we headed down here, and the kids were completely obedient, and your wife was on time, and everything just fell in place. And it's in moments like those that you really need some crazy love. Let me just switch off these guys here. Sorry about that. And we've looked at so far, the first week we looked at crazy love means that you're patient. That you're able to be positive in a very negative situation. Meaning you're stuck in traffic or the heat is like this and something is really not working out. But crazy love is when you're patient, you say, you know what, although this is a negative situation, I'm going to treat it positively. And I'm going to be okay with it and deal with it in a great way and even bless the people that are in that setting. The second week we spoke a bit about kindness. That was last week. And the kindness is really to be able to bless someone. And you can do that through being gentle with them. You can do it by being helpful in different circumstances. You can do it by being agreeable in terms of that we all have so many opinions on so different things at home, at work, what have you. And to not make everything a fight, but to say, no, I can actually be agreeable on this. I'm going to just let it go and let it be because I want to love. Today we're going to continue down the path of trying to learn what it means to practice or live out crazy love. And we're going to be speaking about 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5, in which it says, love is not self-seeking. Love is not self-seeking. Now, selfishness is a very funny thing, because selfishness is something that we tend to hate in others. It seems like you guys are connecting with that. And yet, justify in ourselves. We hate it when we're around selfish people, and it's irrespective of who that person is. Whether it's your boyfriend, your spouse, your boss, or whether it's someone where, I know as a congregation, we meet every week in sort of small groups and talk about our lives, trying to do life together. And if there's someone in that group that is selfish and sort of hijacks the group and just talks about them all the time, that can be incredibly demanding. And when we're around selfish people, it feels like all they do is want. Need. And when you see them coming, what you hear is this. Because you know they're just going to suck the life out of you. As a matter of fact, often we walk into situations and we look like this. You're happy. You get to the office, you're happy. You get home from work, you walk through the front door, you're happy. You maybe came to church happy. And then, this happens. And you're a little bit thinner. And it feels like sometimes people can just, it is just when they're selfish, it just takes everything that you have and it sucks it out of you. And we hate it when people are like that. But when we are like that, it is obviously understandable. It is to be expected. When we feel demanding, when we feel like we are having a misstep emotionally or having some personal trauma, and we expect all the planets to align around us, and we expect the whole family to just, we want to hear one click, then obviously it should be okay, shouldn't it? How is it that we have such high expectations of others and yet such incredibly low standards for ourselves when it comes to matters like selfishness? The answer is actually a lot simpler than what we think. We do it because we are selfish. Take a look in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We'll read there together, since the Bible is talking about love is not self-seeking. So in other words, if I love you, I'll make the decision to put down the vacuum cleaner and let you be. But in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, do as little as you can out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Does that sound like crazy love? It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Do nothing. Now, I've just remembered I never put my microphone on. Now, one of these guys are battling like that. There we go. Does that help? Yes, how they pulled that off. You got to give a hand to those guys at the back there. They must have been stressing. It helps when you put it on. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. Nothing. Crazy love is not self-seeking. Crazy love gives. In John 3:16, many of us know that passage says, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. He loved the world so much that He said, listen, I'm not going to be self-seeking here. I'm going to give. Crazy love looks for opportunities to serve, to give. Crazy love actually looks for, it sounds crazy, that's why we call it crazy love. Crazy love looks for opportunities to say yes. And this is not easy. So in other words, you look around you and you say, at church today, where's an opportunity for me to serve? At home, an opportunity to serve. You say, I wonder what it is that my wife needs. Does she need attention? Does she need words of affirmation? Does she need just some quality time with me? Does she need a gift? Does she need some help around the house? What is it that she needs? And as I figure out, wow, this is what my wife needs, then crazy love says, yes, I will meet that need. And I'm not waiting for the need to come to me. Actually, I'm going to look out and see if I can find it by myself. Those that come along my way, I'll say yes to too. But I'm going to go the extra mile, and I'm going to say, can I find needs that I can meet? And I'm going to say yes to those needs. I realize my husband needs a break, and so I'm going to give him one. And I realize that my husband, actually, all that he needs is he needs some grace. And some of the brothers might say, amen. And because I realize he needs some grace, I give it to him. I look out for opportunities. I look at what people around me need, and I give. I look at my children, and I think, my guess is that one of the biggest things that kids need, and as we reflect back on our own childhoods, we might relate to that, is they need time. Meaning they need time with you as the parent. And in all honesty, I'm not sure if that ever changes. Meaning, I know in your teenage years you get a little bit rebellious and say, I don't actually need time, but I think deep in our hearts we sometimes still do. And I think even when you get older, you do. Meaning that even when you're 30 or 40, you do. You need time. Time with people that you know sort of can speak into your life and give you encouragement and show you the way. I once listened to a talk where a man shared about his kids, and his kids said to him, Dad, and he had small kids, I think, I can't remember their ages, but somewhere between 5 and 10. And his kids said to him, Dad, we need more time with you. and he was a very busy businessman, and so he scheduled more time with them. And he said he would play with them and hang out with them, and he sort of did that for a month or two. And then he checked in with them again, and he said he actually checked in with them just so that they would be able to tell him how wonderful he is. And he thought, let me check in and just ask him, am I spending enough time with you guys? And to his dismay, they said, Dad, actually, you're not spending enough time with us. We want more. And so he said, what he did is he scheduled some more time. And he went at it for about another month, but again, it was a scheduled appointment. And a month later, he thought, this time I'll check in with them. This time they'll just tell him what a wonderful dad he is. And after a month again, he sat down with them and he said, how am I doing? He said, Dad, it's like we're an appointment. He said, what we want is we want you to waste time with us. Meaning there is no beginning, there is no end. You need to waste time with us until we are basically sick and tired of you. And he said, then he went at it and he said he would play with them. And he would play rugby with them. And when they're done, he plays soccer with them. And when they're done, he'll kick the ball a bit more with them. Then they'll play some cards. And he said, eventually their tongues were hanging out. And he said, kids, do you want some more time? I said, Dad, it's enough. You've wasted time with us. And that's what it takes for us to feel loved. And we know now that you love us. Please continue to do so. Love is not self-seeking. Love has the ability, rephrase, crazy love has the ability to say no to what you want so that you can say yes to what others need. Because it is very rare that you are able to meet your own wants and others' needs at the very same time. And this is not just friends in a family setting. This is at work, where we look again for opportunities. Where can I be of help to my colleagues? Where can I be of help to my supervisor or my boss? Where can I serve? Where can I say yes to? Because that is the spirit of Christ, the spirit of God, and that is the spirit that I myself want. Because love gives. Love has a see a need, fill a need attitude. One of the things that I sort of got into lately over the last month or so under the recommendation of Mariska is Facebook. How many of us are on Facebook? How many of us are regularly on Facebook? Check it out daily. Okay, the crowd thins out a bit. Now, previously, in all honesty, I thought that Facebook was an absolute waste of time. I've said that. I might have even said that publicly. Now that I'm an addict... No, I'm only kidding. What I've learned about Facebook, and I can tell you who our big Facebookers are in the group because I see them every day, what a simplistic way of connecting with people without even talking to them. I know the big Facebookers in the fellowship, people like Carl, Marijke, Libre, Franco with his business. His business Facebook's more than him. But I know what's happening in their lives by simply the click of a button. And one of the things that I've enjoyed about this is just seeing what people are thinking, good movies that they're seeing, different experiences that they're having. It's been great that I would walk into the fellowship and I maybe wrote something on Facebook because I do it from my cell phone. So it's easy to do wherever you are. And people would say to me, I remember this year our oldest daughter went to grade one. And I wrote on Facebook, man, this was really tough to let her go. And then eventually when I came to church that night, a number of people came to me and they said, how are you doing? I said, geez, with what? And they said, no, with how was Michaela's first day? I said, geez, how did you know? And I completely forgot about Facebook. And it's actually a great way to connect with people. And I want to encourage us, if we can, to go on it. But there's a reason behind this method, behind this madness here. I read something on Facebook this week that made me think of our lesson. And these are some of our Facebookers. Okay. Do you know who you are? Can you see up to here, or do they have it on the screen? Okay, so I read this this week. I think it was this week on Facebook. Something that Marijke wrote. And she said that I'm not sure when this happened, but I think over the weekend or so. She said, an angel came from heaven, looked after Mia, and it enabled her and Carl to go on a date. Carl's husband. And it was such a wonderful date. It was just so great to be. It was just such a romantic evening. She just felt like he poured his love into her. And she said, now this was in Afrikaans, but I'll translate it for you. She said, my love tank is overflowing. I thought, one, two things. One, Facebook is really cool. Two, there's a lesson behind this. Let's say we have Carl. I don't know if Carl ever picture himself as a bucket, but here's Carl. And what Carl does is he decides that he's not going to be self-seeking. He's going to love his wife, Marijke. And he pours love into her. What happens? As he pours love into her, and her bucket overflows, it flows into Mia, their daughter. It flows into Facebook. And as it flows into Mia and it flows over into Facebook, then slowly but surely, it starts flowing over into other areas. It will start flowing into Mia's friends. As it flows into Facebook, and it will get there soon as it starts rolling over to the side, there's a little bit of a bad connection here. We'll just... Sometimes you need to do this to love even. You need to help it on. But it flows over to me. And eventually it actually becomes, goes full circle. Because what happens is Carl says, listen, you know, I'm going to pour out my love into my wife with something as simple as a date night. By pouring it over to her and she feels like her love tank is overflowing, what is she doing? She is pouring love into Mia. As Mia feels like her love tank is overflowing and Marijke feels it and Carl comes home tonight, guess what happens? Their love overflows again with him. Why? Because of one moment, as simple as it might be to say, I'm not going to be self-seeking. I'm going to do something as simple as to give to my wife with just a date night. And it overflows. When you give, everybody around you wins. And ultimately, when everybody around you wins, you win. Because your life changes as well. It's the same with something as basic as volunteering at church. I am so proud and so encouraged by so many people volunteering at church. I came here again last week. I come here every Sunday like you guys, but I came a little bit earlier I had some note changes and sermon changes to my sermon that I wanted to give to the guys. It's usually I'm actually not allowed to give them anything on a Sunday. Everything must be done by Saturday. But I came earlier in the morning, just after I prayed, and it was just fascinating again to see so many people running around to be able to help us have a great service. And I appreciate people like Peter Hutton, he's sort of our operational manager. He takes care of everything that happens here on a Sunday. Dries, does production, takes care of all the technology. Gerrit and the sound guys, the kids zone guys, Craig and Tracy, the kids zone coordinators, the ushering team, the brothers currently being outside on security. I mean, the worship team that practiced yesterday, practiced this morning, lead us in worship today, practice during the week. Give. And there are just so many people that just serve in so many capacities and they give. And when they give in that way, and when they say that love is not going to be self-seeking, if they say on a Sunday morning I could actually sleep late, or on a Sunday morning I could actually be in the service, but I'm rather going to be in the kids' zone and serve our children and teach them about Jesus, by doing that, we as a church win. And because people have said, listen, I'm willing to teach the children, some of the parents here, we can sit here today and we can hear a message and we can be worshipful. Because they're serving in such a capacity. Because people after hours are saying, we're willing to work on a kids' own curriculum. We're willing to give it our all. We win. And when we as a church win, then the community wins. And when the community wins, God wins. But where did it start? Something as simple as someone saying, I'll volunteer. I'll be an usher. I'll be part of the setup crew. I'll be part of the hospitality crew. I'll serve in the kids' zone. I will help on the sound desk. I will just help packing up the sound. I will be barren, that just lifts this thing off of here so it all doesn't fall down when we do it. It's volunteering. It gives, and it makes a difference. But the thing about this kind of love is not only is it unselfish, but it's also unconditional. Take a look in Romans chapter 5. Now, while you turn there, let me tell you about my weekend. I don't know if you'd like to know what I do over the weekend. On Friday night, Lisa and I had the coolest date night. Maybe this was even subconsciously partially inspired by Carl. What we did was, and we do this every now and then more then than now, is that we went to Gordon's Bay on Friday evening and we had dinner there at the Harbour Island next to sort of a jetty harbour-like thing. I'm not exactly sure how to describe it. But we had dinner there, pre-planned obviously, and then we spent the night there. And Alicia looked after our kids, which we were very grateful for. But we were able to spend the night there and just catch up. It sounds so strange. We live together. I mean, you live past one another and all the chaos of the world and just catch up. And in the morning, we were able to wake up and have great time with God and go for a prayer walk next to the beach. And we had breakfast there again at the Harbour Island, because it's literally the apartment that we stayed. It's right below. But I mean, what a refreshing and wonderful weekend, and what a time to just sort of rekindle your love. Now, we've been married for just over 11 and a half years. I'll try and see if we can show you a photo. Do they have a photo? Is it a blank photo? Oh, there we go. There's a photo. That's us. You'll notice that we look a bit different now. Lisa obviously has a baby in her womb. She's a little bit bigger. I don't know what my reason is for looking a bit bigger, but I've grown. So we've been married. Oh, there we go. There we are on the back there. Yes, it's been a while. Now, we've actually known each other for quite some time. Let them show you the next photo. Oh, there's another wedding photo. Amazing. 12 years ago. Another one. There we go. That is Lisa when she was 4 years old at a birthday party. Show the next photo, please. That is me. At that very birthday party. So we've known each other a while. I actually remember this one. If you can show the next one. That is the two of us when we were about somewhere 10 to 12. That's obviously, that dude there is me. That's her. That's the rubber duck. I've always been very adventurous. And I remember more or less around that time was actually the first time that I realized that I like this girl. I was about 10. And my heart started beating faster whenever she was around. Now, she did some cool things. Maybe I can just show them. Look at how well she took care of me. That's me. Even put a hat on there for me. You know, it's love gives. That's her, obviously. That's Vanessa, her sister. And it's great to be able to think through these memories. And times like this, man, I'm really in love. And that's what I love about weddings and when people get married. I looked in sort of the marriage registry book that I have. I've done about just over 130 weddings. And two of the things that I love most about weddings is, one is when you're standing with the groom in front there and his bride walks down the aisle. I mean, it's a beautiful picture. The most recent one was Minnick and Michelle. And you see Minnick sweating excessively, taking some huge strain, and you see Michelle obviously gliding down the aisle. You see Marius crying as he needs to give her away. And it is such a beautiful moment. It's one of the most beautiful moments. One of the other things that I really enjoy about working with engaged couples or talking about to them when they're about to get married is I usually ask them this question. What is it that you love about your future wife? And in the Christians would usually say, I don't know if they just say it to me because I'm the minister, or but they usually say, bro, it's her love for God. Now, I believe that to be true in most cases. But they'll say things like, man, it's really a love for God. It's so attractive to me. Or it's just, it's her patience with me. You know, I'm a sinful dude, and man, she's just so incredibly patient. Or she's incredibly kind. She's got a gentle and a quiet spirit. She's got a bubbly personality. Or she's a bit shy, but I love that about her. She is just so amazing. And then usually with the Christians, I try and drag out something physical, because I usually try and use this in my messages, and I say anything physical. I say, oh, bro, you know, I don't really think about physical things. No, but since you mention it, I mean, I've had all kinds of things. I remember Monia and Creswell, and they've been married for several years. They've got two children. He said to me, her feet. Oh, man, I love her feet. Now we're all going to check out Monia's feet. Or they'll say, I've had her hands, her nose, her eyes, her hair. I think anyone that went to Monique Michelle's wedding knows that he loves a bob, or in his words, a bob. But they say those kind of things. And then I ask usually the wife to be, and they're separate when I do this, on separate occasions, or a phone call, what have you. And she'll say again, you know, he's such a godly man. That's what I love about him. Or his gentleness with me, his romance, or he's adventurous, or he is just, I mean, he's just the best dude that ever lived. And those things are incredibly special and wonderful and takes us down memory lane. But what I want to ask is that crazy love? Because what if over the years your wife or your husband stops being those things? What if they stop being gentle and actually sit on you? What if the romance has dwindled away, those special nights, those special weekends, those special cards, is just in the archive somewhere in the drawer or file? What if they stop being helpful? Or what even if they've stopped being godly? What if they leave God? Would you still love them? See, based on everything that we've been sharing here, then the answer to that would be no. Because if your reason for loving your friends or your spouse has something to do with their wonderful qualities, and those qualities suddenly or gradually fade away or disappear, then your basis for love is over. The only way that love can last a lifetime is if it is unconditional. I'm by no means saying we shouldn't appreciate these things in one another. But that's not necessarily crazy love. That's romance. If you say years down the line to your spouse, you know, and I've heard this many a time, I've said this, not just heard it. If you say to your spouse, listen, I can't help it. Over the years, I've just fallen out of love with you. What you're actually saying is, I never loved you unconditionally to begin with. I just loved you when you had all those good qualities, and all those good qualities are now gone, and so is my love. See, real love, crazy love, is not determined by the person being loved. Crazy love is determined by the one choosing to love. Think about God's love for us. Romans chapter 5. We should be there. Verse 8. It says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ loved us. While we were unlovely, while we were unlovable, while we were impatient, not so kind, not so gentle, not godly in any way or manner, God chose to love us. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is. And that is crazy love. That is unconditional love. That is love in the essence of the word. In Romans 5, where it says there that God demonstrates his own love for us, and this, that word love in Greek is called agape, agape love. And agape love, let me just read you the definition here of agape love. I went to research this. Agape love is the kind of love that does not depend on the receiver's actions. It pours itself out in abundance and seeks nothing but the highest good for the one being loved. It is an irrevocable commitment, not a feeling. It is a bond that you make with the one being loved, a deliberate act to give yourself to them. It is selfless and it is unconditional. And it's the only love that can survive the wear and tear of life. Agape love. Agape love is sickness and in health love, for richer or poorer love, for better or worse love. It is the only true love, because that is the way that God loves us. Right in the beginning, when we started this series a couple of weeks ago, we looked at Matthew 5, where Jesus said, previously it was said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. But now I'm telling you, love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. Be like your heavenly Father, because does your heavenly Father not make the sun rise above those who do good and evil at the same time? And then he closes with these words and he says, therefore be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And we all know that we fall short so far from perfection. But we can love unconditionally. If we just allow, if we go back to this kind of illustration, and we allow that the love that God has poured out into us and continues to pour out into us every day, it can pass on. And then we will have the ability to love the rude neighbor. We will have the ability to love the crazy boss or colleague. We will have the ability to love the guy that cuts us off in traffic. We would love or have the ability to love those that we even disagree with in church. Because we're saying, I'm going to love you irrespective of what you do. We looked at that the first week as well. I'm going to separate your garbage, your sin, the challenges that you have. I'm going to take that and I'm going to separate it from you. I'm going to put it way over here. And I'm going to put you over here. Leave your sin there. And saying, irrespective of what you do, I am choosing to love you because God loved me first. That's crazy love. I know in this series, some of the comments that I've heard so far, and I can certainly relate to that, is, man, this is overwhelming. Can I be this? And we realize that as we stand here, we realize, boy, this is where I'm currently. And I'm not just talking about marriage here. I hope that's clear. I'm talking about everything. About the neighbor, about at work, at gym, and traffic. Everywhere it's the same thing. But I'm standing here. And I see that what God expects of me is here. And the temptation is that the gap seems so far and so wide and so hard that I basically get overwhelmed and I sit down and I say, this cannot be done, and I don't change anything by feeling overwhelmed. And again, I want to take us back to just taking the next step. Saying, if I'm here today, I've got a choice. Am I going to be a vacuum cleaner? Or am I going to move over to this side in my heart gradually? Am I going to be a bucket? Because at the end of the day, it's going to be as simple as that. That we're going to walk out of here and don't worry about tomorrow. Just worry about the moment right now. And as you have to make that choice, vacuum cleaner or bucket. I'm not sure if anyone has ever said this to your church, but I want to encourage you. Be the bucket. God bless. Amen. Let's close.